For the last few Sunday nights together, we've been studying about Jesus Christ and who He is, that is, before He came into this world. The fact that Jesus has existed and His beginnings are from everlasting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We started with John chapter 1, 1 through 3 in this study, noting that Jesus is divine. He was with the Father in the beginning, and the Father created all things by Him. And so we see that Jesus, what His position is as deity, as creator, and His existence far preceded coming to this earth, as His beginnings were from everlasting. And so we were studying about that and also looking at the works that He did in the Old Testament, at least the glimpses that we were given there, which actually will tie in somewhat of what we want to look at tonight. But our last time we were looking at what the Scriptures teach about the Father and Son today, the distinction between the two beings, and the Father, as Christ said, is greater. And Christ was sent by Him to do His will on this earth. And so tonight we want to now bring the focus of our study on the authority that Christ has, the authority that He has today. But to really understand that, we'll also have the opportunity briefly to, in a sense, summarize or revisit some of what we've seen in our study up to this point, as it will involve several aspects of that. For one thing, we're going to see that the position that Christ occupies, though He is the same being, though He is divine and that He is creator, all of those are facts of who He is. The authority that He possesses now, He has been given a special position during this particular time since His resurrection than that which He possessed, or that in terms of His authority, that which He possessed beforehand. As we will see, the Father has given Christ all authority in heaven and in earth today. And we are under Him, under that authority that the Father has given to Him. But we can note there is a bit of a distinction, or a bit of a difference rather, from that position as far as that degree of authority that the Father has given Him, and for a reason, compared to what was before. So let's look at before. Before Christ's resurrection, right now we'll even go before Christ came to this earth, just to very briefly revisit some of what we already saw with the works that Christ, what we're told concerning works that He did during the Old Testament age. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 23, there we see God speaking and said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Now this is the general word that's translated angel. This is the general word that means messenger. It's not restricted to what we think of as an angel, as one of those created beings, glorious beings that are used by God as His ministers. Here He's speaking of a messenger He would send. And those are some key words. God was going to send a messenger before Israel to keep them in the way, to bring them into the place that He had prepared. And He warned them, "Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon you your transgressions, for my name is in him. My authority is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." So God was going to send this messenger before them who would possess God's authority, but he would be sent by God to lead Israel into the land of Canaan to defeat their enemies and to guard them in the way. Well, again, in the New Testament, we have some more explanation, further explanation of what this was about, or at least who this is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So was Jesus Christ sent by God to be there with the children of Israel in the wilderness after he led them out of Egypt until he brought them into Canaan? And, of course, we saw that in Exodus 23, and here he explains it and says that rock was Christ. Now, we also see that he possessed the authority that God gave him. God's authority was in him. And also he was sent by God, which tells us, again, some more about that authority arrangement that was there between the Father and the Son, the Father and Christ, before Christ came to this earth, as the Father was the one that sent him to be that rock for Israel during that time. Well, going forward now in time to Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was on the earth, he came to John to be baptized of him in Jordan in Matthew chapter 3. In verse 16, we see all three of the beings of what we understand to be the Godhead, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all distinct beings. We see them here in all three of them in verse 16 and 17. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, so that's where he is. And it says, "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" There is Christ in the River Jordan, and the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. The Father in heaven spoke those words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But again, we see in this occasion the Holy Spirit now being sent by God to Christ. And the very next verse in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." So again, we're seeing that authority structure that was there as the Father sent Christ to this earth, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to light upon Christ to give him his miraculous power. Then immediately he drove him into the wilderness. So Christ was doing the will of his Father, but here we see Christ was submitting to that will and authority of the Father, and the Holy Spirit was following the Father's work, and then Jesus, his work was involved with, or at least the Holy Spirit was involved with Christ's work at the direction of the Father. And so that is, it's very interesting to see how that is described there. Now we also have Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18 that we want to look at now. Matthew 12, 18. This was from a prophecy in Isaiah of the Father about his Son Jesus Christ, whom he was going to send. And he says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." So there is exactly what the Father said. He was going to put his Spirit upon Christ. So the Holy Spirit would be following the direction of the Father, and then the Son was really going to be responding to the Father through the Spirit's direction, according to what he's speaking about there in his work on this earth. Well, verses 24 to 28 here in the same chapter of Matthew 12, it says, "When the Pharisees heard of it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.' And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? But if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." And of course, that's what he was doing. He was doing those miracles, including the casting out of devils, by the Holy Spirit. So who was giving Christ the power to do those miracles? Well, the Father was, but it was the Holy Spirit at the Father's direction giving Christ the power to do those miracles in his work that the Father gave him to do on this earth. This is, again, the arrangement that we see here in, at the time when Jesus was on the earth prior to his crucifixion and his burial and resurrection. All right, then we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 42, as we see more of these principles brought out here. John 8 and verse 42. Now, this we saw last week, this principle of who's doing the sending and what that says and what the meaning of that is. John 8, 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Now, Jesus didn't come on his own authority. He was sent by the Father. Just like we saw before the cross, he was sent to be that rock for Israel. Here he was sent to the earth by the Father. The Holy Spirit was sent, and Christ was doing according to what the Holy Spirit directed him to do as sent from the Father. This was the arrangement while Jesus was on the earth. John 12, verse 44. John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." So here again we see Christ speaking about the fact that he was sent. And to receive him and believe on him, it was the same as receiving and believing on the one who sent him. And by the same token, to reject Christ was to reject the one who sent him. In John chapter 13 and verse 16, that principle of the sender and the one sent, and what that means in terms of authority. John chapter 13, verse 16. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." So who was the one doing all the sending throughout this time, both in the work that Christ did before he came to this earth, the work that he did on this earth, and even including what the work the Holy Spirit was doing while Christ was on the earth. That was all directed by the Father, and so Jesus was under that and following that authority before he went to, and including up to the moment that he went to the cross and died that death that his Father gave him to as he drank that cup he was given. John chapter 14, verse 8. I'm sorry, John chapter, a little bit further down, verse 28, rather. He says, "You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So there's Jesus' explicit statement about that while he was on the earth, that the Father was greater. And in chapter 20 and verse 17, he also said to Mary at this time, in verse 17, John 20, he said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So he acknowledged that God was his God and Father, and that he was greater, that the Father was greater than he. Well, there we see, and that summarizes a lot of what we have seen in our study up to this point, but it's very important to recognize the Father being the one to send Christ, Christ being under his direction and authority through that time of his death on the cross. Well, what happened after that? Well, there was a change that took place as Christ was given a different position in terms of authority. Of course, he's still the same being, but he's given a different position by his Father for a reason. And this was actually prophesied in Psalm 2. If we can turn to the second Psalm, verses 6 through 9. Psalm 2, 6 through 9. "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hills of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Was Jesus going to be given something on this day, whatever this day is? This is the Father speaking to the Son, saying, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Whatever day that is, on that day, Christ would be given something that he didn't possess before then. As he says, "I'm going to give you the heathen for a possession, and for an inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." And then he proclaimed how he would rule with that authority over them. Well, that was going to be something he was given that he didn't have prior to that. When was that? What is this day that he speaks of in which he was begotten? Well, this, of course, is quoted in the New Testament in Acts chapter 13, verses 32 and 33. This is the day of the Lord's resurrection. When the Father raised him from the dead, on that day he gave him all authority in heaven and in earth. Acts 13, 32 and 33. That was what was prophesied in the second Psalm. He's quoting it here. He says, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." This is quoted, that second Psalm, it's even named here, stating that that is a proof of the resurrection of Christ. It was speaking of the day of his resurrection. So that answers any question about which day that he was begotten and what that begetting was. That was the day he was born from the dead. On that day is the day that he was given that authority per that Psalm. Well, this is also, of course, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28. These words he spoke after his resurrection. He did not state such prior to his resurrection, because before then he was not given this authority, all authority. He was working under the Father's authority, but now, Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now that's the power of authority. That's not the power of, there's the Greek word dunamis, which is where our word dynamite comes through. That's the power of force. This is exousia, a Greek word that refers to authority. And so all authority, that power was given to him in heaven and in earth, all of it, which he was not given such, that position prior to his resurrection. This is also taught in Philippians chapter 2. When we see the mind of Christ, which he tells us to have in him, he's going to show us how Jesus humbled himself. Again, this is summarizing much of what we've already studied about to this point. The position that Christ had before he came to this earth, what he did on the earth to the point of his death on the cross, and then what God has done with him from his resurrection and why. Well, we see all of that here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now that's where he was before. With God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the form of God. So he had all of that glory, being there with his Father in heaven before he came to this earth. Then what did he do? Well, look at that. Look at how he humbled himself. He left that, emptied himself, and in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that's how far he humbled himself, to leave the glory of heaven in the form of God, to come to this earth, made in our likeness, to live as a servant, the servant of all, and then to be crucified on a cross for the sins of the world when he had done no wrong and only done his Father's will in all of his life on this earth. That's what he did. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." We need to humble ourselves. Now, will any of us ever humble ourselves to the degree that he did? That wouldn't even be possible. But we need to have that mind, that humble mind, that we are willing to do whatever God directs us to do. And the Son was following the authority of his Father in everything, as we have already seen. But now with his obedience unto death on this earth, being subject to all the temptations of the flesh, of course, yet without sin, what did God do with him since he humbled himself to that point? Verse 9. "Wherefore," so there's the reason, "for that reason God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Of course, that name, that's authority. God gave him authority above all authorities. All authority in heaven and in earth. When was it given? After his resurrection. Why? Because of how he humbled himself. He humbled himself to that point and God exalted him to that position at his own right hand, far above all principality and power, given all authority in heaven and in earth. Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the position that he occupies now, given by the Father because of his humility in doing all of his will to the point of dying on the cross. In Colossians chapter 1, we see the same thing taught in verses 16 through 19. Colossians 1, 16 through 19. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now that includes all that he did before he ever came to this world as creator, as again, the Father created all things by him. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So God is given in that position that he would have the preeminence and that in him all fullness would dwell. That's the position that God has given the Son today from the point of his resurrection. Now going back to the Gospel of John to look at chapter 14 and verse 16. And this was on Jesus' last night on the earth, as Jesus was anticipating that authority that he would be given in accordance with what God had foretold and what he would do to fulfill his promise when Jesus did drink of that cup and when he did complete the Father's work that he gave him to do, including his death on the cross. In John 14 and verse 26, Jesus said there, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now notice he says the Father would send the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. This would be after Christ's departure, which of course did happen. But the Father would send the Holy Spirit by whose authority? The Father would do it by Christ's authority. Very interesting the way that's phrased. And also, do you know the difference between that arrangement versus what we were seeing was going on while Christ was on the earth, when the Father sent the Holy Spirit to Christ and then Christ was sent or led, guided by, given that power by the Holy Spirit in the work that he was doing. So Christ was following the Father according to what the Father sent the Holy Spirit to have him to do, at least as far as the miraculous works and some of those other things that we saw in those passages before. Now we see the Father would be doing the work, but he would be doing the work by Christ's authority. And by Christ's authority, the Holy Spirit would be doing his work. So before the Son was following and being directed by the Father through the Holy Spirit, now we're going to see the Holy Spirit doing his work by the Father through his direction through Christ and his authority. A change that has taken place. Verse 20, John chapter 14, and also in, or rather, chapter 15, verse 26. We looked at 14, 26. 15, verse 26, he says, but when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now again, whose authority? It would be Christ's authority, but who would be the one directing everything by Christ's authority? It would still be the Father, including the Holy Spirit. So today the Holy Spirit's work is directed by the Father, but by whose authority? Christ. And so that again is showing us how Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. Now, chapter 16, we see more details of it in verses 12 to 15. John 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. This authority that Christ received from the Father, the Holy Spirit would be and is today following the direction of the Son by the authority given to him by the Father. Again, reflecting a change that took place in that arrangement after the resurrection. So that is what has happened, and that is where things stand right now at this point in time. While the earth still stands. Now, what's going to happen at the end? There will be a change again. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 speaks about the work that is going on now of all things being put under Christ's feet. Hebrews 2, verses 5 to 8. He says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Now he has authority over everything, but have all of his enemies yet been placed under his feet? He has all authority in heaven and earth, but the Father is still putting all of his enemies under his feet. He also speaks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 21 to 28. If we could turn there and look at that passage now. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 21 through 28. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So we wanted to read those three verses to establish the context as he's speaking about the end when Christ comes and the resurrection takes place. This is at the end of the world. So what's going to happen then? Verse 24, "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father." So who's the he there? The first he? That's Christ. "When Christ will have delivered up the kingdom," that's his church, "to God, even the Father." So when Christ comes back, he's going to come back. Remember, as he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, afterward they that are alive and remaining shall be caught up with him to meet him in the air." Well, what is Jesus going to do with those dead in Christ who have raised and those who are caught up, the ones who are still alive on the earth, to meet him in the air? What's he going to do? Those are all his people. Of course, he's going to take them to Judgment Day. He's going to pardon them there. And then what's he going to do with the saved? He's going to deliver up that kingdom. He's going to deliver up that body. Remember, he's the Savior of the body. He's going to deliver them, all the souls of the righteous ones, he's going to deliver to his Father. So he's going to deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Verse 25 says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." As we just read in Hebrews 2, that's the process that is going on now. It's not yet been completed. When it is, that's when the end will come. When is that? We're not told. Only God knows. But at whatever point that is, and we don't have the ability to try to read signs and determine when we think it's getting near the end of time on this earth. The Lord has told us that only the Father knows that day and hour. So that's what we have to go by. But this work that the Father is doing to put all the enemies under his Son's feet, that is the work that's going now. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death," he says in verse 26. Verse 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet." He, that first he there, of course, is God the Father, has put all things under Christ's feet. "But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest," that is, it is revealed, "that he," that would be the Father, "is accepted, which did put all things under him." So when the Father gave Jesus all authority in heaven and in earth, did the Father give Jesus authority over himself? Did he put the Son over himself and put himself under the Son's authority? No, it says he is accepted. Now that's the word, that's E-X, not A-C-C, not accepted. It's accepted. He's an exception. So he has given Christ all authority in heaven and earth. Everything is under his authority except for the Father. He didn't put himself under Christ's authority. And then it says verse 28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him," under the Son, "then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." It's very interesting the way that's worded. When that end comes, when Christ has delivered the kingdom back up to the Father, he says, then at that point, then the Son will be subject to the one who put all things under him, that is to the Father. He will be back under the Father's authority directly. So right now, when the Father's given all authority to Christ in heaven and earth, he's not put himself under Christ, but is Christ put under the Father's authority? That's the way it was before. He says when the end comes, when he delivers the kingdom back up to God, then he's going to be back under. Then, he says, he will be under, subject to him again. So right now, all authority has been given to Christ, not over the Father, but Christ has all that authority. Why is Christ doing everything by the Father's will even now? It's not by force, and we can see that from the wording there. But would the Father trust His Son to give Him all authority in heaven and in earth, everything except over Himself? Would He trust that the Son would still follow His direction in everything? And it's not because He's forced to or has to. But what did He show on this earth? That He would do His Father's will to that point. He humbled Himself, left the form of God, came to this earth, made Himself of no reputation. He was made in the likeness of men, and He went to that cross, and He died that death on the cross. What wouldn't He do of His Father's will? And the Father then entrusted Him with all authority in heaven and in earth. But we see that when the end comes, He's going to deliver the kingdom up to His Father, and then He's going to be back under His Father's authority, following His direction as an authority arrangement from then on in eternity. But right now, He's still following the Father's direction. As it says, the Father is the one putting all things under Christ's feet. The Son is willingly following the direction of His Father, even when He's been given all authority in heaven and in earth. It's very interesting to see that wording, and it's actually a beautiful picture of the heart of Christ and the humility that He has, and the humility that we all need to strive to have ourselves. Now, we will close tonight since we're out of time. We do want to build on this point about that authority arrangement that exists today with the Father having given the Son all authority in heaven and in earth, and what direction the Father gives us through the Son to follow in the way that we respond to both the Father and the Son right now. And that will include such things as our worship, who it's directed to, which will include our singing, our praying, and all of those kinds of things. That brings up a lot of different questions or issues that we can go to God's Word to have the answer to. But all those answers are going to be based in these things that we've been studying up to this point, to understand the authority arrangement that exists in heaven that God tells us about. And so we will look forward to, Lord willing, completing this series with that final lesson on that subject our next time. So, of course, I guess that will be 2 weeks from tonight, Lord willing. But at that time, please be back again if you can, so, Lord willing, we can complete this study. But right now, this is an opportunity for anyone that is here that is not yet a Christian to come forward, confessing your faith in Christ Jesus, repenting to be baptized into His name for the remission of your sins. Again, it's in Christ's authority, in His name, that this is to be done, because He has all authority in heaven and in earth. What would it mean for us not to follow or to submit to the one that God has put in that position that we should be submitting to? Well, there's no way that we can have eternal life except by submitting to Christ, the Son of God, who has all authority in heaven and earth. So won't you submit to Him now and obey His gospel by being baptized to Him into Him for the remission of your sins? If you need to repent of sin, if you are a Christian, and if you need the prayers of the church tonight, you have this opportunity to come also. So we want to encourage anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight to do that right now while we stand and sing.